there is a chance I'm in danger of doing something I kind of don't like it when other people do it. So please accept my apologies and forgive me if I do. And that's sometimes making too many references to different things. We heard in Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed, and it kind of fits together, but that doesn't mean that it's not necessarily difficult sometimes to reconcile things that may appear to be slightly different from one thing to another. I will make reference as well to other things that we've not heard yet this morning. But hopefully it will help us together to maybe work out a way forward for ourselves in some small respect. Beginning with the reading from Genesis, it's Jacob. Now, one of the things I think about first when I think of Jacob is the dreams. Well, is it one dream for Jacob that we know of? But of course, Jacob and his son Joseph, we have more dreams. And I begin to think about the power of dreams. But that, of course, was a Honda slogan. And judging by the car park, they don't need any more advertising here. I had a dream. I had a dream that someone I knew told me to do something I had already done. Something I'd already done unsuccessfully. Why would I do it again? But I thought about it, prayed about it a little, and thought there's nothing to lose. I will try again. Didn't work out the second time either. So maybe my dreams aren't quite like Jacob's. But there was a third opportunity, a different context, and things worked out differently. Thinking about the story of Jacob, it kind of strikes me as maybe slightly odd that Jacob might be a popular name still, relatively. Jacob to grab the heel, a name that means cheat or deceiver. Why would you call your child that, I wonder? The story of Jacob, if we turn back earlier. Jacob dresses up in animal skins. Tries to change his voice and fool his father into receiving the blessing. But as I was looking back again at this story, in his defense, God does say to Isaac, Rachel? No, Rachel. Oh, I forget his mum's name. God did say that the older son would serve the younger. So God had already said that this is what would happen. But did Jacob and his mother trust God? Or was this the wrong way to go about it? A little like Abraham, maybe, and his encounter with Hagar. There is a promise from God, but sometimes it's difficult to see the way forward. And sometimes we take action that may not fit with his plan or purpose. In the story we hear, Jacob spends the night wrestling with God and receives a blessing. This blessing is not through deceit, is not a fraud, but is hard won. And what is the blessing that Jacob receives? His name is changed. He is no longer the deceiver. He is no longer the cheat. But he is the one that has wrestled with God. The past is let go of. Another blessing is that he has seen God face to face and lives. Reading into Exodus, we know that that is something that does not happen. And if we continue the story, the significance of that name change, I think we see. Because his relationship with his brother Esau is restored. The deceiver, the cheat, has gone. The man who wrestled with God returns. In his wrestling, Jacob is persistent and perseveres. In our second reading, we heard from Paul's letter to Timothy. This is probably a letter I'd rather, attempt to teach rather than preach on, because it's a letter written to an individual. In his letters to the churches, they're all different because each church has different characteristics and different people. But I feel it's slightly more appropriate, easier maybe, to draw out something for us. But for a letter that is written to a specific individual, I'm not entirely sure it's quite so straightforward to read it and apply it to ourselves. But I get the impression from some of the things that I've read that Timothy was not always enthusiastic in his ministry. He was sometimes reluctant to go where he was called and maybe do what he was supposed to do. But in this letter, Paul encourages him, continue. Sorry, something moved then. I was just afraid I'm going to fall over. Continue. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Keep going when life is good and when life is hard. Keep going with great patience. I think we all need to be encouraged. And as we think of the stories that we've heard of our friendships, knowing that God is with us, that others are around us, we are encouraged. Thirdly, we heard, most importantly, I would possibly argue, the words of Jesus. I was thinking about the characters in this parable, the judge. Over the last couple of months or years, maybe, we've seen various headlines about judges. But here we have a man that feared neither God nor people. Now, I kind of think the idea that he wasn't worried about what people thought is actually quite a good thing. Sometimes I'm more so worried about what people think that I might be led astray. That I may have done what I shouldn't have done because I was worried about what others thought. But he did not fear God either. Now, in the Old Testament, there are many laws. Laws of how justice is to be achieved. But this man did not care about that. It appears that he just wanted an easy life. And the second character, the widow. The woman that is coming alone because she's unrepresented. Because she has no one else. I was reading something that suggested she came angry and seeking revenge, but I'm not sure that I get that impression from this, as the title given to this story refers to her. She is persistent. She feels that she has been wronged and she will not let it go, even if this judge is not interested. If she really wanted revenge, would you not bypass the system of justice and seek your own way of getting it? I'm not sure that's a fair way to represent her. She was persistent. She had been wronged, and she sought justice. In her persistence, the judge does not have the easy life that he desires, and so it appears that he gives in. So in his teaching, Jesus says this: listen to what the unjust says. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Will not God? God. Well, who is God? God is love. God is slow to anger. God is compassion. God is the giver of the law. we have the law because our hearts are hard. You can find that in Mark chapter 10 and possibly somewhere else. Because we do not know how to love, we need the law. God has given the law because he loves perfectly and desires justice. God is compassionate. We were hearing about compassion just a couple of weeks ago. The stirring within us, our heart or our guts, the thing that causes us to feel and share with the injustice and pain of others. I'm not entirely sure I know what God's swift action looks like. Maybe that's because I'm praying the wrong prayers. But we have a God who is love, who is compassionate, who is slow to anger and rich in love. In verse 1 of 18, it said that Jesus told this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. But I'm slightly minded of the fact that this woman, this widow, comes with her own injustice. For me, I think that I do the same. I come with my own interests. I come hurt from the times that I have been wronged, less often for the wrongs done to others. So how is this parable a lesson for me in prayer? Well, Luke writes, we should pray and not give up. But as we consider Jesus' teaching on prayer in Matthew, we should seek God's kingdom first. In the Lord's Prayer, your will be done, not ours. So I should be persistent in prayer, seeking justice. But God gives us a picture of what justice looks like. So how should I approach prayer? I was bearing in mind the well-known verse from Micah. We should act justly and love mercy. Referring to some other bits that Paul had written. When we don't know what to pray, in Romans chapter 8, he reminds us that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. And in 1 Thessalonians, Paul echoes Jesus' teaching here. Pray continually. And so in these three readings that we've heard, there is an encouragement to persevere and to persist. And so we must, in our prayers, in acting justly and in living lives that love mercy, not for the easy life as the judge desired, but as we seek God's kingdom and God's will to be done. Amen.